This morning we are going to continue in the series of messages on living a balanced life. As God speaks to us, we know that many times we have to adjust our lives, that we have to do things in order to align ourselves with Him, that we must align ourselves with God's activity so that we can join Him in what He is doing. In order to align ourselves, we have to adjust ourselves. And that means adjusting the attitude that we have so that we have an attitude of humility. It means also that we make proper decisions, because decisions determine direction, and it's that direction that determines the destination. I spoke in decision making about the criteria of making good decisions, that there are 7 points, 7 criterias that you need to go through in order to make a good, godly decision. And the first one is simply having a conviction within your own heart. The second thing is to see the circumstances outside. What are the circumstances outside doing? How are they lining up? To have good common sense is the third one. To have common sense. God gave us common sense. The fourth thing is to have the counsel of others. You speak to others, other people that are spiritual, other people that are mature in Christ. And so you speak to them and see what their thoughts are. Then you also have confirmation of Scripture as you're reading God's Word. You're going through it and all of a sudden God speaks to you and you have that confirmation of Scripture. You also have the center of God's will, knowing that what God is saying through His Word and through everything else, that you're in the center of God's will. And the last one is having a commitment of faith. It's going to require faith in order to join God and to make this decision and to walk the path that God has chosen, because decisions determine direction, and direction determine destination. The J stands for Jesus, that He should be the center of everything we do. The U stands for understanding the situation. The S stands for submitting to authority, and the T stands for trusting in God. Now, why do I constantly say that Sunday after Sunday? Some people are saying, oh boy, I just shut myself off for the first 5 minutes. No. Because repetition is what is needed so that it is second nature in our lives, so that when we see the circumstances pop up, now everything makes sense and we can take that step by faith. So if we're going to truly live a balanced life, we need to have balance in our life spiritually. We need to have balance in our life relationally. We need to have balance in our life financially, we need to have balance in our life physically, and we need to have balance in our life emotionally. Now, if we're truly going to have spiritual balance, we know that we need to live with a purpose and know what that purpose is. We also need to live dreaming that dream that God has given us. We need to live freely, not allowing the pain of our past to determine the destiny of our future. And we also need to live intentionally. So if we're going to have relational balance, we know that we need to live selflessly and that we need to live lovingly. We need to live connecting to God and connecting with God's body, and we need to live serving Him. And when we do those four things, we'll have balance and stability in our relationships. Well, when we look at finances, we know that we need to live wisely, we need to live responsibly, that we need to live generously, and we also need to live indelibly, to have that indelible mark, that permanent mark in our family's life and in society. Well, we have been recently looking at the physical balance. To live physically balanced means that we live fully, and today we're going to talk about living orderly. And that's the title of the message today, is living orderly. God is the one that controls the days of our lives. Amen? God controls the number of days that we have. The Bible tells us that our days are numbered. So if God controls the number of our days, guess what we control? We control how effective we are. We control the impact that we have in other people's lives. We control what we do because we're the ones that make the decision to take that step forward. Yes, God leads us, but we have to make that decision. So we are the ones that truly control our body and what we do. How effective are we? What kind of a legacy do you desire to leave? Where do you want your family to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now? How effective do you want your life to be? Now, God controls the number of our days, but we control how effective we are. Now, since God controls the number of our days, if we become more balanced spiritually, if we become more balanced relationally, if we become more balanced financially and physically and emotionally, if we become more balanced, our lives will become more effective. And we will be able to have a greater impact in our families, in our church, in our community, in our workplace, simply because we have become balanced and we have order in our lives. As Christians, we tend to compartmentalize different areas of our lives. But as Christians, we have to realize that each area has an impact in another area. So if we're not financially balanced, it will affect us emotionally. It will affect us physically. It will affect our relationships, and ultimately it affects our spiritual well-being, simply because we're not financially fit. And the same thing holds true with the physical balance. Now, I don't expect all of us to be Arnold Schwarzenegger or a bodybuilder or a figure competitor. But what God is wanting is for us to have order in our lives and in our homes. And that's why if we have order in our lives and in our homes, we can begin to have balance. Now remember, one point, we're like a swivel. 2 points, we're like a teeter-totter. 3 points gives us balance, but the 4th point gives us stability. And because of that, that's why we need 4 things in each area, because guess what? We're going to be working on all 5 areas at the same time. Because about the time we get one area fairly good, another area needs some work. And so our focus shifts and we start adjusting to what God is saying there and so forth. It's a constant process, because we are all a work in process. Amen? God's not done with us. It's a process that we are going through in this life. And if God is the one that numbers our days, we are the one that controls how effective those days truly are. I'd like to have you turn with me this morning to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I want to begin reading in verse 7. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word. Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you, Lord, that you want so much in our lives and that you want us to be orderly and that you want us to be balanced so that we can be the individuals that you have created us to be. So that you can work in our lives and through our lives to build your kingdom here on earth and in the next life. And Father, we thank you that you have brought this to us, that you might do a tremendous work in each and every one of our lives. Father, be glorified as we listen to this message, as we apply this message into our lives. And Father, we pray that through this, we might be drawn closer to you each day. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A little bit about my story. Many of you know my story or have heard portions of it. When I was in high school, I was very, very active. I was very athletic. I played football all the way through high school. And in the summertime, I would gain a little weight, and I was about 6'3" and weighed 145 pounds. AJ, how much do you weigh? 145? Okay. How tall are you? 6'1". Okay. So I had a couple inches on AJ, but more than anything, I was just about the same size as AJ, and I'd play football. And they had me as a wide receiver, and because I had a 6'3" frame, I could run fast, I had long legs, and I could jump high. And so they had tailored a couple plays for me as a wide receiver. Sometimes I'd just dart out and be 5 yards on the other side of the center, and they'd just lob it over to me. And I could jump up knowing that as soon as I did, somebody would hit me and I'd fall down. But we gained 5 yards. Other times I would sprint out and catch the ball. I played both sides of the ball. I played defense as well. I played defensive safety because I was fast. I could cover people. I could intercept. So I played football, and I was about 145 pounds as a senior. So after football, I would drop and cut weight for wrestling. Take 20 pounds off of AJ. Oh, yeah. I would drop down to 126. My freshman year of wrestling, I weighed 98 pounds, 6'3". I weighed 98 pounds. My sophomore year, I wrestled 113 weight class. My junior and senior year, I wrestled 126. Now, wrestling and basketball happened simultaneously, and I loved to play basketball, so I would wrestle and play basketball. And it was a fairly good-sized school. I graduated out of a class of 103, so it was a fairly good-sized high school. So we would have wrestling meets on Tuesday nights, and so Wednesday and Thursday I would practice with the basketball team because I was tall enough to be a post player, and so I would practice with the basketball team, and then we would play Friday night. And then Saturday we would have wrestling practice, and Monday we'd have wrestling practice, and we'd have the meet on Tuesday. And so I would wrestle and play basketball. I was very athletic. I was in shape. I was like the typical Pony Express rider. Well, after graduation, went to college and so forth, and life slowed down a little bit. I was still very athletic, very active, and then got married, started having kids, We would go camping. We had horses. We'd go camping for the weekend and take the kids with us. And so we were very active. I was breaking horses. My dad and I were kind of in business. And he'd buy the horse and I'd break the horse. And then we'd sell it and split the profit. And so I enjoyed doing that. I rode rodeo and rode bulls and did some team roping. And so I was very, very athletic. And so I was in shape. And so then life changed. We moved to Missouri for a job change. And so life changed. We were still horsing around. We were a part of the saddle club there. And then God really got a hold of me. And I got saved. And 3 years later, surrendered to preach. And when I started to preach, life, my activity level didn't drop. But I wasn't as physical as I had been. And so I started putting on a little bit of weight. It's natural, amen? When you're not as physical, you're not out there baling hay, you're not out there running and doing two-a-days. And so I gained weight. And through a series of years, being pastor at Bethany and being pastor at Appleton City and being pastor at Warsaw, being pastor at Vandalia finally, after 20-some years of pastoring, I had put on a bunch of weight, 274 pounds worth. Now, I weigh about 260 now, so put another 15 pounds on me. You can see I was pretty out of shape, mid-40s, out of shape. I'd go to play basketball with the youth group, and I'd be out of breath. And it was at First Baptist Vandalia that I started to connect the dots between the spiritual realm and the physical realm. And I realized that spiritually speaking, I was where God wanted me to be, but physically, I was lacking a lot. I wasn't the person God wanted me to be physically. And because I couldn't be the person that God wanted me to be physically, it was affecting my spiritual walk. I didn't have any self-discipline other than spiritual discipline. So, I felt that God wanted me to make a change. So I started getting up. I was already getting up early and spending time with God, but I started getting up at 5 o'clock, and I'd spend between 5 and 6 o'clock with God, and at 6 o'clock I'd go to the gym, and I'd work out from 6 to 7, and then at 7 o'clock I was home, and I'd shower and change, and I was in the office by 8:30, and life was good. And through that process of simply eating right and exercising, I dropped 72 pounds in 90 days. I went from 274 to 202. Life was really good. But then life changes. And we moved to North Carolina. And I'm not quite as physical as I was, but I kept it up and I became a personal trainer and bringing the spiritual in. I started training, and the owner of Gold's Gym saw what was taking place and hired me as his personal training director for that club, Gold's Gym. And then I started to compete at the Gold's Classic at age 48 and 49, to where I was in tip-top shape for that age. And when you're in the over 40s, you have 40 and 41 and 42 and 43-year-olds competing against you. I tell you what, those few years make a big difference. And so I came in third at the Gold's Classic in North Carolina. And through all of that, Mike Valentino gave me all of his Gold's Gyms, which were 14, and I became his corporate personal training director. Each one of my personal trainers were saved. I had shared my life with them, and now they were experiencing it. They were training the way I was, and life drastically changed. And then we went to Pennsylvania. Life really slowed down. And then we moved back here, and I was pastoring and working at Harley-Davidson, and life really slowed down, and I started putting those pounds back on again. Life changes. God wants us to be orderly. And that's why, first of all, we need to order our life with discipline. To order our life with discipline. Discipline sounds bad. Sounds like a bad word, but it's not. Discipline is simply doing the right thing. Even though you don't want to do it, discipline is doing the right thing. Making sure if this is what God wants, then this is what I'm going to have to do in order to get there. That's what discipline is all about. Discipline is not a bad word. When we live a disciplined life in all areas of our life, what it does, God gives us a greater impact in each area that we're in. And it's that impact that makes a difference in our family's lives, in our church life, in our work life. A couple weeks ago, we went out to Nathan, and I was playing basketball with Isaac, and I went down on this left foot and fractured my ankle, and we went to his graduation. What was it, Tuesday night? Thursday night. And Isaac says, "How's your foot?" And I said, "It's fractured, but it's okay. I'm walking on it." He says, "Why aren't you using a boot?" And I said, "Because I don't want to use a boot. I just didn't want to. It's not that bad. So I'm just going to be careful and walk this way." But with the basketball playing, I was out of breath. Last Saturday, I went to Anaya's Quinceanera. Oh, I said it right. Went to Anaya's Quinceanera. Danced with Hannah one song. And when I was done, it was like, everybody thought I was going to have a heart attack. It's like, no, I just got to let my heart catch up with me. Because, see, for my heart, I take beta blockers, which makes my heart just beat at a constant rate. Because my heart will jump in and out of sinus rhythm about 2,000 times a day. So if it slows it down, then it's more likely to stay in sinus rhythm. But when I have exertion, my heart doesn't speed up. It just stays pumping the same as it has been. And so without the oxygenation, it makes me breathe hard and everybody gets concerned. I don't have the shape. I'm not in shape like I was. Can I have the impact that God wants me to have in the shape that I'm in? The answer is no. God wants me in a better physical shape. God wants me to get back to that routine. And that's why Paul said to train ourselves in godliness. Exercise ourselves in godliness. That word exercise or train means to train ourselves rigorously. To train ourselves sacrificially, like an Olympic athlete would rigorously and sacrificially train so that they can be the best, so that they are in the best condition. That's the self-discipline, the self-control, the self-sacrifice that is required so that we can be the individuals physically that God wants us to be. Train ourselves in godliness. It requires that kind of training because, let me tell you something, health and wellness does not start in the physical realm. It doesn't. It starts in the spiritual realm. And when it's in the spiritual realm, God will lead us to make those changes in our lives physically. But health and wellness starts in the spiritual realm. That's why Paul said to exercise yourself in godliness. Train yourself in godliness. Use the same rigor and sacrifice that an Olympic athlete uses to train yourself in godliness so that you can be the total package that God wants you to be. Thirdly, we need to see the true meaning. Paul said in verse 8, for bodily exercise profits little. Well, Pastor, you're talking to us about exercise. But godliness is profitable unto all things. The scripture does not say that exercise has zero benefit. Scripture does not say that it has no effect. No. It says it's limited because it only affects our bodies in this life. Whereas godliness affects us in this life and the life to come. That's the true meaning. They are both important, but they're not equally important. Bodily exercise is important so that we can be balanced, so that we can have the impact that God wants us to have. When I walk down the hill and up the other hill at my son's place going out to my deer stand with my grandson, I got to stop partway up and go, got to take a break. Is that what God truly wants? No, God wants me in shape. God wants me in shape. And that's why we need to truly have order and discipline in our lives. Secondly, self-discipline leads to order. Self-discipline leads to order. God created everything with order. He did not do anything flippantly. He did not do anything ignorantly. You might wonder why I chose to use that picture. That is a picture of a peacock. One feather of a peacock. If you look at each strand of that feather, every strand is unique and different. Every strand has the same colors, but they're in different proportions. So that when you put them all together, they are picturesque. And they make a design so that we as humans will say, how did God do that? How did God figure that out, that every strand of that feather would have the same colors but in different proportions, so that when you put it all together, it brings him the glory and the honor? See, the peacock is used to glorify God. And if God would choose to use a peacock, he also would choose to use you and I to bring him glory, so that our bodies bring him glory. Because when someone looks at our bodies and sees that there is order and discipline, they recognize that as something that God has done deep in their heart. God created everything. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Excuse me, chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Two verses. Verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Now look at verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. God is a God of order, amen? God is a God of order, and God never changes, amen? So if God never changes and God is a God of order, I believe God wants his godliness to be applied into our lives. He wants us to have lives of order, because absent of that order is disorder. Absent of that balance is unbalance. God cannot be glorified through our unbalanced, dysfunctional lives. But God wants us to be so functional and so balanced that he is glorified in and through our lives. Secondly, we need to see that self-control creates order. Self-control creates order. Now, self-control is one of the virtues of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Temperance, self-control. It's one of the virtues of the fruit of the Spirit. It's there because God wants us to have self-control. Because when we have self-control, now we have self-discipline, we have self-sacrifice, we can be the individuals that are balanced and have order in our lives. That's why he wants us to live orderly. So that when someone is living orderly, their bodies are a living sacrifice. What good is a dead sacrifice? Some of you might say, well, I'd die for Christ. Well, God doesn't want you to die for Christ. God wants you to live for Christ. Amen? And that's what a living sacrifice is all about. Look with me in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. He didn't say your spiritual walk. He didn't say your emotional well-being. He didn't say your relations or your finances. No, he said your body. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants us to be his living sacrifice. We can't do that without having a physical balance. We can't do that if we're not living orderly. If we're not living with a self-discipline and a self-control and a self-sacrifice. Because those are the things that lead to an orderly life. And when our lives are orderly like that, then we can make an impact in the world in which we live. God controls the number of our days, but we control how effective those days are. And that's why God wants us to live orderly. As our worship team comes, I ask you, do you have balance in your life? Spiritually, relationally, financially, physically, and emotionally. Those are five areas of our lives that require balance. It requires order. And that's the order that God wants for us to have in our lives. Maybe there's an issue that you have in your life right now that you'd just like to pray about. I'm going to ask you to come that we can pray with you. Maybe there's a friend of yours or a family member that needs prayer. Maybe there's something going on with their health. Maybe there's something going on in a relationship. Maybe their emotions are just all over the place. Maybe you need to come and pray with them, for them, and we can pray with you.